Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., headquarters of American Free Press. Check it out at AmericanFreePress.net and the Barnes Review. Check it out at BarnesReview.com or BarnesReview.org. Folks, I had dinner this evening and spent several hours with our regular caller, Dave from Massachusetts. And I'm here to tell you, folks, as I just told Mark Glenn a little while ago, Mark Glenn and Phil Turney, don't be fooled by Dave's mild-mannered New England drawl. I want to tell you, folks, if you want to know what Dave from Massachusetts looks like, go to Google Images and do a search of the name of the actor Robert Duvall, D-U-V-A-L-L, and that great film that Duvall was in playing a retired mercenary, or not a retired mercenary, playing a mercenary, Let's Get Harry. Put that in quotes, Let's Get Harry. The first image comes up is a video from that film. And that is what our friend Dave from Massachusetts looks like. You don't want to run into Dave from Massachusetts in a dark alley or in a bright alley, especially if you've crossed him. Great guy, Dave from Massachusetts. Very entertaining company. Very nice guy. And I guarantee you, he'd make a great bodyguard if you need one. Anyway, folks, tonight is our second installment of our ongoing series this week about the destruction of Liberty Lobby, which was carried out through the illicit takeover of the Institute for Historical Review by a group of employees at the time who were under the direction of a shadowy figure named Andrew E. Allen, Andrew Everett Allen, a San Francisco real estate heir. Very, very wealthy man. Now, folks, tonight we're going to talk about big money, lots and lots of money. And that was a key to the takeover of the IHR. Now, the actual details of the seizure of the board of directors of the Institute for Historical Review and a subsequent takeover of its physical office in Costa Mesa, California, we're going to talk about that probably tomorrow night. But tonight we are going to talk about one of the primary reasons that Andrew Allen, whom we documented very clearly last evening, had long-standing connections to Israel's intelligence operations in Burma and in Afghanistan, talked about it very clearly, quoting Andrew Allen's own admissions under oath in two depositions, one of which I personally attended. We talked about that last night on the program. There's no question about it. Andrew Allen, by his own admission, was involved in very high-level intelligence operations at the very level on the ground, which was under the direction of Israel's Mossad. Now, one thing which is very, very important to mention here, folks, as we begin this discussion tonight, is the fact that, yes, Andrew Allen is a very wealthy man, and for that reason, a lot of deference has been paid to Andrew Allen because of the fact that over the years, Andrew Allen was sprinkling money around in the revisionist movement. And as a consequence of that, to repeat myself, a great deal of deference was paid to Andy, as some revisionists have called him. And it was indeed Andrew Allen, as it came out during depositions in the legal battles between Liberty Lobby and the Institute for Historical Review. It came out very, very clear. Very, very clearly in the remarks by several of the IHR employees that Andrew Allen was, in fact, advising them behind the scenes in the summer of 1993, which led up to the coup d'etat at the Institute for Historical Review that resulted in the ouster of the longtime head of the IHR, Willis Cardo. Now, this is beyond question, folks. When we come back, before we proceed to talk about these really juicy details about millions and millions of dollars, we will talk a little bit briefly about the relationship between Willis Cardo, the IHR, and Liberty Lobby here in Washington, D.C. It's important to understand all of that as we proceed. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
Toxic heavy metals. They're in the air we breathe, water we drink, our food, products we use, objects we touch, and they negatively impact our health by building up within the body over time. But now, toxic metals can be mobilized in a safe, effective manner with Chelarex from scienceformulas.com. Chelarex is an oral chelator developed from Dr. Alan Greenberg's clinical experience with heavy metal poisoning during his 25 years of medical practice. Chelarex contains absolutely zero synthetic chelation agents, which frequently cause adverse side effects. Chelarex contains all natural ingredients that enhance the body's natural mechanisms for excreting heavy metals and protects against reabsorption. Chelarex effectively mobilizes mercury, aluminum, lead, and 15 other heavy metals. Try Chelarex now from scienceformulas.com with this RBN special offer. Purchase two bottles, get one free with free shipping. Limited time offer. Go to scienceformulas.com. That's scienceformulas.com. Chelarex. Chelation of toxic heavy metals the way nature intended.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. I remind you that this is a very complex topic I'm talking about here tonight, but people want the facts, they're getting the facts, because you can handle the truth. Now, if you have specific questions about anything that I discuss here tonight, and you need clarification on it, or you need the actual numbers again, because we're going to be rattling around a lot of numbers, millions of dollars, all sorts of things, you are free to call in here to discuss that. And if you would, wait till towards the end of the program. But I'm going to go through that, and I will try to answer all of your questions as long as those questions refer to specifically to what I'm discussing here this evening. I have to keep this very complex subject as organized as carefully as I can so that I'm able to discuss everything that needs to be discussed and don't get sidetracked. Now, I have to discuss the relationship again for the record between Liberty Lobby, Willis Cardo, and the Institute for Historical Review. Willis Cardo founded Liberty Lobby in 1955, kept it in operation in Washington for many, many years. He assumed management of the Legion for the Survival of Freedom in 1966. And later, in about 1979, he formally created the Institute for Historical Review as a subdivision of the Legion for the Survival of Freedom. Now, it's important to emphasize that despite all the propaganda from the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, for example, the Institute for Historical Review, the IHR, and Liberty Lobby were always operated separately. They were not merged. There was no merger between the two companies. All the finances of the two companies were kept completely separate, and they also had two different missions. The Institute for Historical Review was designed to bring history into accord with the facts and research history, not just the Holocaust, as Mark Weber would later have people believe, but all aspects of history. Liberty Lobby, however, was a political pressure group for patriots and populists and grassroots Americans. And Willis Cardo was determined to keep both of them separate. Most of his efforts were focused on Liberty Lobby. But Willis, of course, did raise money for the Institute for Historical Review, and everybody knew that Willis was the driving force behind the Institute for Historical Review. While Mark Weber spent much time and energy telling people that Willis was illegally operating the Institute, that he was not handling its affairs properly, the fact is that all the key revisionists around the country and around the world knew that Willis Cardo was the driving force behind the Institute for Historical Review from 1979 to the time that he was thrown out by Mark Weber and company in 1993. 1 year, incidentally, only 1 year after Mark Weber actually came on board there. Suffice it to say, when revisionists around the world wanted money or when they wanted to speak at IHR gatherings, who did they approach for that money? Willis Cardo. No, they didn't approach Mark Weber. Mark Weber didn't even join the staff until 1992. Now, in the meantime, however, as I pointed out, Andrew Allen was doing everything he could to undermine the Institute for Historical Review. And after Mark Weber learned that he was going to be fired by Willis Cardo because he was not competent to run the IHR and act as its managing editor, Weber then had his own reasons to move against Willis Cardo. Likewise, Andrew Allen was exploiting the concerns among the staff members. One staff member was upset because he didn't have health insurance. And in the meantime, the managing figure at the IHR who worked directly under Willis Cardo, Tom Marcellus, was bringing into the staff other people who were fellow members of a self-help group that Tom Marcellus belonged to. So there was a certain loyalty there among these people. But as I say, Andrew Allen was exploiting all of this and telling them they needed to take over the Institute for Historical Review. One of the reasons why he said they needed to take over the Institute for Historical Review was because Willis Cardo was in control of millions of dollars that rightfully should be in the control of the staff. Now, where did this millions of dollars come from, ladies and gentlemen? Governor Thomas Edison of New Jersey was the son of famed inventor Governor Charles Edison of New Jersey, who was the son of Thomas Edison, the great inventor, was a longtime supporter of Willis Cardo and Liberty Lobby. Likewise, Jean Edison Farrell, who was a member of the Edison family. She actually took up citizenship in the country of Colombia and then moved to Switzerland to escape American income taxes. So she was a big supporter of the populist cause, the Americanist cause, the constitutionalist cause. She was a critic of the Internal Revenue Service. Well, Miss Farrell indeed had much money. And in the early 1980s, she approached Willis Cardo and said to him, "Mr. Cardo, I would like to make you my heir, the heir to my millions." And she said to Willis, "You know, however you want to do it, we'll do it that way." Now, she actually offered to make Willis her direct heir, but Willis said, "I do not believe that it's proper for me as an officer of Liberty Lobby or as a principal involved in the affairs of the Legion for the Survival of Freedom," that is the IHR, "to accept this money personally." So he engaged a very prominent lawyer in Geneva, Switzerland, near where Miss Farrell happened to live in Switzerland, and said to him, "Could you work with Jean Farrell and set up an arrangement whereby upon her death, whenever it should come, that it will be, the funds from her estate will be adequately distributed?" Now, over those period of several years, Miss Farrell and Willis kept in regular communication. And in 1985, he lost track of her for a month or two, and he started to get concerned. And he contacted the attorney in Switzerland, incidentally, whose name is Edward Coghlan, very prominent American living in Switzerland, acting as an attorney, and said, "Have you been in touch with Jean Farrell?" In 1985, Willis learned that Jean Farrell had died. Willis immediately made arrangements to go to Switzerland. Now, this is where it gets really, really interesting, folks. Jean Farrell had set up with this attorney an arrangement whereby all of her cash assets, which amounted to many millions of dollars, at this point we don't know how many millions of dollars, ladies and gentlemen, but at least a minimum of $15 million and possibly more, most likely more, those cash assets were converted into what are known as bearer bonds. That is, whoever has that bond can go and claim money from those bonds. Some of those bonds were put in a bank account in Frankfurt, Germany. Some were in a bank account in Southeast Asia. Some were in a bank account, if I'm not mistaken, in North Carolina. And she kept all the paperwork relating to these bearer bonds, which were set up, incidentally, through a Liberian company, incidentally. And that's a popular way of setting up international bank accounts. All of this paperwork was kept in a file cabinet in her apartment in Switzerland. Miss Farrell had a neighbor, and she told this neighbor, whose name was Joan Althouse, that she was going to write out a handwritten will, and in that handwritten will, which she did write out, Miss Farrell bequeathed all her personal effects at her apartment in Switzerland, as well as the contents of a single safe deposit box, to Mrs. Joan Althouse. But part of the agreement was that Mrs. Althouse, upon Miss Farrell's death, would make sure that the file cabinet in her apartment in Switzerland, contents of that file cabinet, were made available to Willis Cardo. Well, ladies and gentlemen, a month and a half after Jean Farrell had died, Willis Cardo had not heard from Mrs. Althouse, and he immediately went to Switzerland. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we learned from a friendly source in the U.S. State Department that when Willis Cardo went to Switzerland on that emergency trip, he was under observation by Israel's intelligence service, the Mossad. When Willis got to Jean Farrell's apartment, it had been closed off by the authorities because she had died. And incidentally, Mr. Cardo is convinced to this day that Miss Farrell, who was only 65 years old, may have been murdered. Well, Willis discovered that Mrs. Althouse had seized control of the file cabinets that contained so much of the information regarding the distribution of these massive millions of dollars. And she used that handwritten will, Mrs. Althouse did, to claim that she was the heir to the entire estate. And she claimed that that estate included the bearer bonds that were described in the paperwork held in that file cabinet. Well, all of this immediately came into the hands of the Swiss authorities. And therefore, the only way Willis Cardo was going to be able to gain control of the money that Jean Farrell had intended for him was to bring a lawsuit. Now, it's not going to surprise you, ladies and gentlemen, to find out that Joan Althouse was a Jewish Zionist from South Africa living in Switzerland, although, ironically, Jean Farrell did not know that. And it's no coincidence that the minute Willis Cardo began the preparations to file a lawsuit, in Switzerland to gain control of that estate, that Howard Squadron, a very powerful lawyer connected to the American Jewish Committee, immediately lent his support to Joan Althouse to prevent Willis Cardo from gaining any money from the Farrell estate. Now, what's interesting is that all told, over the period of time that it took from 1985 to 1991 for Willis Cardo to get any of Jean Farrell's estate, he had to secure the services of some 10 different attorneys in the U.S., Switzerland, and other foreign countries, along with a number of consultants and private detectives. More about that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Welcome to America. It's time for change. The new president is talking about change. Are you talking about change? You know, changing your lifestyle to become more healthy? Well, here's how the staff at Life Change Tea feels. Make the change to be healthy before your body forces you to change. Organ failure, sickness, chemical poisoning, toxins, and much more. They'll force you to change for the worse. A willing change is much better than a change by force. Call Life Change Tea now. 928-308-0408. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. You've heard it. Getthetea.com. Make an investment in your life. Life Change Tea. Oh, and P.S. You'll lose some weight.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here, continuing with the sad saga of the Institute for Historical Review, the IHR, and Liberty Lobby. We left off with Willis Cardo hiring attorneys all over the United States, and all over the world, private detectives to try to find out the location of the safe deposit boxes that only the Jewish Zionist neighbor, Mrs. Althaus, knew about, because she had all the records and was trying to claim the entire estate, not just the safe deposit box and the furniture and the Persian rug, I believe it was, of some value that was in Miss Farrell's apartment. Now, this is very, very important, ladies and gentlemen. In the process of this, you have to remember that in 1984, the Institute for Historical Review and the Office of Noontide Press had been bombed, firebombed out of existence by operatives of the Jewish Defense League working in conjunction with known Mossad operatives out of Israel. That's a story in and of itself, ladies and gentlemen. But anyone who knows the revisionist movement and its history knows that that, in fact, happened. And that had disrupted the work of the IHR to the point that at first Mr. Cardo wasn't even sure they could keep the IHR in operation. But to keep it in operation, the IHR's resources had been drained. So the only way that Mr. Cardo could hire all these attorneys, high-priced attorneys, and private detectives, was to get money wherever he could. He put up a certain amount of money for himself from his own resources. Liberty Lobby in Washington also lent money to the effort, And in several instances, Willis Cardo borrowed money from private individuals, putting his own name personally responsible for repayment. That's the money he needed to secure, at least to attempt to secure, the Farrell estate. Now, this is also important, ladies and gentlemen. During that same time frame, while the Institute for Historical Review and its Journal of Historical Review were ultimately brought back into publication, just barely getting along, Holocaust survivor Mel Mermelstein filed a lawsuit against both the IHR and Liberty Lobby, saying that they were essentially one and the same organization, which they weren't, and also against Willis Cardo. Mel Mermelstein was upset because the Institute for Historical Review questioned the Holocaust. Mel Mermelstein had a raft of powerful attorneys supporting him for free. And that's another story in itself, ladies and gentlemen, which I wrote about in my book, Best Witness. But in any case, Mermelstein's own attorneys were already bragging. They knew that Willis Cardo was finally engaged after some 6 years. They knew that Cardo was engaged in preparing to reach a settlement with Joan Althaus in Switzerland. And they were talking about how they were going to get their hands, when they finally wiped out Cardo and the IHR and Liberty Lobbying Court, they were going to file to get their hands on that money that was coming to Willis Cardo's control. So all of this was happening at this time, ladies and gentlemen, and it was in Willis Cardo's hands. He made the decision himself that he was going to place the money in the hands of the Legion for the Survival of Freedom. Now, remember, this is important. The Legion for the Survival of Freedom was not simply an organization devoted to Holocaust revisionism. It was dedicated, it had been founded in 1952, dedicated to advancing all sorts of causes, historical, political, etc. Now, in July of 1990, Willis Cardo, in Swiss court, reached an agreement with Joan Althaus. That was the only way he could get any money. If they would have continued, it would have dragged on for years. 55% of the Farrell estate went to Mrs. Joan Althaus. The balance of 45% was entrusted to Mr. Cardo. He acted for himself and signed the settlement papers, acting for himself and as an agent for the Legion for the Survival of Freedom. In the end, the share that was secured by Willis Cardo was approximately $7.2 million, which was far less than $40 million that the Anti-Defamation League had talked about in press releases, and much farther less than the $80 million that Mark Weber was telling people that Willis Cardo had received. However, much of that share that was procured by Willis was extinguished by taxes, legal and accounting fees, and other expenses, including a very substantial fee paid to a very highly regarded Swiss revisionist leader, Francois Genoux. And, of course, interestingly enough, Mark Weber later denounced Mr. Genoux as a Nazi. Yes, the great revisionist Mark Weber called this great Swiss revisionist, Francois Genoux, who was instrumental in helping many, many revisionists in Switzerland over the years and around the world. Mark Weber called him a Nazi. Now, what you have to remember is that Willis Cardo decided that he was going to put the money in a Swiss bank account. Why did he put the money in a Swiss bank account? Number one, because Mel Mermelstein, who now had a lawsuit against Liberty Lobby and the IHR, was bragging again that he was going to take care of the money. And at the advice of an attorney in California and other attorneys, Cardo structured the assets of the Farrell legacy in a way to make them legally judgment-proof. And he set up a corporation which maintained a bank account in Switzerland. That corporation was known as Vibet, V-I-B-E-T. We will continue when we come back. I'm trying to make this as simple as possible, but it is indeed very complicated.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We closed with the last segment with Willis Cardo having assumed $7.2 million from the Farrell estate, much of which was ultimately paid out to lawyers and other consultants who had helped procure the estate. Willis Cardo repaid himself and his wife, Elizabeth, and this is off the top of my head, but possibly as much as $50,000 that they had lent out of their own money, and I don't even think it was that much. He was repaid. Liberty Lobby was repaid somewhere between $100,000 and $200,000. Another foundation, the Foundation to Defend the First Amendment, received a small fund in repayment for the funds it had put up to help secure the estate. Ultimately, then, there was probably about half of the final settlement available. In the very beginning, Willis Cardo made available $750,000 directly to the Legion for the Survival of Freedom, specifically for the IHR and the Noontide Press. And ladies and gentlemen, from that $750,000, the IHR and Noontide Press rebuilt up two giant warehouses full of books that were designed to continue to subsidize the IHR over the years. If you've ever been in the book printing business, you know that you can print a hell of a lot of books for $750,000. And between that time frame and 1993, the IHR had two large warehouses full of books that were printed with money from the Farrell estate. Incidentally, Cardo also paid bonuses to IHR employees Tom Marcellus, Mark Weber, and Ted O'Keefe, directly from the Farrell estate funds. And incidentally, Mr. Marcellus directed that his own bonus, at least in one instance, be paid not to Mr. Marcellus, but to the self-help group of which he was a longtime devotee. Now, I don't know why Mr. Marcellus wanted his funds paid directly to the self-help group rather than to himself, but that's the case. It was paid directly from the Vibit account set up in Switzerland, where Mr. Cardo was holding the funds from the Farrell estate to make sure they wouldn't fall into the hands of Mel Mermelstein. In the meantime, this is very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, Willis Cardo was trying to set up a network, and incidentally, I should mention additional funds were later paid directly from that Vibit account to the Institute for Historical Review. But in the meantime, Mr. Cardo was engaged also in trying to set up an independent radio network. It started out as satellite, and then he saw the opportunity to buy the Sun Radio Network, which had 200 AM affiliates across the United States. And that Sun Radio Network, which featured Tom Valentine's famous Radio Free America program, publicized the work of Liberty Lobby and the IHR, and also a wide variety of independent populists and nationalist groups engaged in a wide variety of endeavors. That was precisely what Jean Farrell wanted done with her money. And that's precisely the mission of the Legion for the Survival of Freedom. Well, now what happened was, Willis was so determined to get this radio network in operation, a network that today really has its air in some respects as the Sun Radio or as Republic Broadcasting, and I'm not suggesting that there is a lineal connection. I'm just saying that what John Stadtmiller has done now is what Willis Cardo wanted to do back in the early 80s. What Willis Cardo did at that time was began to lend money from the Vibit account of the Farrell estate in Switzerland to Liberty Lobby. And this went on over a period of several years, an emphasis on the loan, ladies and gentlemen. Basically, over a period of several years, the Vibit account would lend $100,000 to Liberty Lobby. And then Liberty Lobby, in turn, would use that money to fund the Sun Radio Network, which was based in Florida. None of that money even went to Liberty Lobby directly, ladies and gentlemen. The money was being used to keep the Sun Radio Network in operation because Willis felt it was so important to have an independent radio network, just like RBN. None of that money was a grant. It was not a grant. It was not a giveaway. Those were loans that Liberty Lobby owed to the Vibit Corporation. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that the loans weren't even due until roughly 1994. Maybe it was 95 or 96. The specifics of that I don't have in front of me, but I'll talk more about that on a subsequent program. But needless to say, the money was going from the Vibit account to Liberty Lobby as a loan payable by Liberty Lobby, and then Liberty Lobby was putting it into the Sun Radio Network. Willis was also so determined to make this network a reality, to make it a continuing success, that he actually sold the Liberty Lobby building on Capitol Hill and used that money to help underwrite this network. And then, of course, then Liberty Lobby itself rented the building back from the new owners. Now, this is what was going on with the money, ladies and gentlemen. There was no embezzlement. The money was Willis Cardo's to distribute as he wanted. It was not earmarked specifically for the Institute for Historical Review. It was earmarked for all sorts of causes that Willis had been associated with over the years. And again, to emphasize, Jean Farrell herself was primarily interested in tax issues. And that's why she thought it would be a great thing to have a radio network where people could talk about the Federal Reserve and the IRS. She was interested in Holocaust revisionism, yes. But the money was never exclusively earmarked for the IHR, either by Willis Cardo or by Jean Farrell. Now, there we go, folks. That is exactly what the money was all about. But Mark Weber and company wanted to get their hands in this money. They didn't know how much money was there. The only inkling they had of the money was because Willis Cardo had a corrupt, disloyal attorney on the West Coast who asked Willis Cardo how much money he had received from the Farrell estate. And I was there, ladies and gentlemen. I saw it happen. It was during the Mermelstein trial. Attorney William S. Halsey, who was representing Willis and Liberty Lobby, said to Willis, "Willis, how much did you get from the Farrell estate?" "Well, you know, folks, I'm such a tower of integrity. I knew it was none of my business, and I stepped away." Willis didn't even want to answer the question, and Halsey said, "Willis, I'm your attorney. You can tell me." Well, Mark Lane, who was Willis's primary attorney and Liberty Lobby's attorney, Mark Lane was standing right there with his wife, Trish Lane. So we all heard this. I stepped away, and so did Trisha Lane. That left Willis Cardo and William Halsey and Mark Lane standing there, and Willis Cardo told William Halsey that the sum total that he had actually received was $7.2 million. Well, Mr. Halsey had developed an enmity towards Mr. Cardo and towards Mark Lane. He felt wrongly, in his mind, that Mark Lane got too much good press for beating Mel Mermelstein when he said he did all the work. And he actually said that at a party after he'd had a few drinks the night of the victory celebration. Well, Mr. Halsey went to Mark Weber and Ted O'Keefe and the employees of the IHR behind Willis Cardo's back, the man who had hired him. That's a direct violation of legal ethics, and told them Cardo's got $7.2 million. Well, obviously, Cardo didn't have $7.2 million. Much of it had already been extinguished through taxes, legal fees, etc. Money was being distributed to Liberty Lobby. Money had already been distributed to the Institute for Historical Review and the Noontide Press. Weber and company wanted to get their hands on that money. Weber was promising people that when he got control of the Institute for Historical Review, that he was going to be funding them. And a lot of revisionists around the world smelled money. I will not shame them by naming them, but many of them, they didn't exactly criticize Willis Cardo in some cases, but after Weber made it clear, after Weber staged his coup d'etat in October of 1993 and seized control of the Institute for Historical Review at the direction of Andrew Allen, who provided much of the legal advice behind the scenes, Weber started promising money to people. And in the past, where people had only sniffed around Andrew Allen because of his vast fortune, now suddenly Mark Weber was the big kahuna, promising that he was soon going to be in control of this money because, after all, so he said, we've got Cardo by the yin-yang, and Cardo will do everything in his power to keep this under wraps. They didn't count on the fact that Willis Cardo is a fighter. After all, Willis had been fighting the Jews, let's face it, for a long, long time, and he fought long and hard to get what he did out of the Farrell estate. But this is what happened. Mr. Weber and company realized that they did have a fight on their hands, and we'll go into this in further detail beginning tomorrow on the program, because I want to segregate the matter here. Mr. Weber and company then began the process of saying, well, now Cardo has apparently transferred the money to Liberty Lobby, so therefore we're going to file a suit against Liberty Lobby to get the money back. Well, that's where that all stands, ladies and gentlemen. That's the truth. Those are the facts, folks. And if anyone wants to call in here and dispute any of that, or if anyone wants to ask any specific questions about what I have discussed here tonight or last night, I will do my best to answer those questions. But again, I have to emphasize here that I don't want people to call in here to talk about the Holocaust or Holocaust revisionism or what Mark Weber is, how Mark Weber has abandoned revisionism, which is what he's done. But I would emphasize this much, folks, and you can call in here at 800-313-9443. I would emphasize this much, folks. There's another thing to consider. When Mark Weber began the process of taking over the Institute for Historical Review, he told people that Willis Cardo was going to abandon Holocaust revisionism. No, ladies and gentlemen, what it was that Willis Cardo realized that Holocaust revisionism was really growing. And after the Liberty Lobby and the IHR defeated Mel Mermelstein in 1991, Holocaust revisionism was blossoming. And the IHR was a world-renowned, it was recognized as the center of Holocaust revisionism. And Willis saw a golden opportunity to introduce Holocaust revisionism to many, many other people. And what he did, after they raised the subscription rate to the IHR, thanks to money that they had gotten from the Farrell estate that made it possible for them to do direct mail, Willis said that henceforth, the Journal of Historical Review would be limited in each issue to 25% devoted to the Holocaust, and the balance would be related, would be focused on other issues. That way, Willis reasoned, he could introduce the subject of Holocaust revisionism to people who might be a little uneasy about it, people who didn't want to get one single journal devoted exclusively to the Holocaust. What Willis wanted to do was let more and more people who were interested in history, other aspects of history, and the lies of history, to introduce them to Holocaust revisionism on a gradual basis. Well, Mark Weber then began announcing that Willis Cardo was abandoning Holocaust revisionism, telling prominent revisionists, Cardo is going to turn the Journal of Historical Review into a racist journal. And there were several prominent revisionists who said, we cannot have our revisionist journal become a racist journal. And they said, we've got to support Mark Weber, who's going to save revisionism. No, Willis Cardo was not abandoning Holocaust revisionism. He was trying to broaden Holocaust revisionism. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see what he's done today through the Barnes Review, which Willis Cardo established after he was kicked out of the IHR, you can look at the Barnes Review and you can see that the Barnes Review does talk about the Holocaust, but it talks about many, many other issues. That is what Willis Cardo wanted to do with the Journal of Historical Review. And yet today, there are even people who are now grandly debating Mark Weber's new position on the Holocaust who refuse to acknowledge the fact that Mark Weber himself is effectively saying, in some respects, although not in a different sense, I should say, Mark Weber has actually abandoned Holocaust revisionism, whereas Willis Cardo wanted to keep it alive in a broader sense. Many of these people understand now, many of these prominent revisionists, I've seen some of their commentaries appearing on Bradley Smith's Committee for Open Debate on the Holocaust. They're not talking about what Mark Weber did. They want to avoid the fact of who Andrew Allen was and what his motivations were. They don't want to admit that Mark Weber pulled a scam on a lot of people. They want to try to continue to put forth the idea that, oh, Mark Weber's just incompetent. They don't want to admit that they were wrong in the first place, that Andrew Allen was a Mossad operative. Now, I don't know that Andrew Allen is Jewish, ladies and gentlemen. We've been trying to investigate that. It's possible that he is Jewish. It's possible that he has French connections who are Jewish. There's a possibility that he's related to the Levi Strauss fortune. We're not sure. But the point is, Andrew Allen was a Mossad agent scattering money around in a revisionist movement. And there are some people who are saying, well, the IHR still puts out good revisionist material. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the whole purpose, to draw people to the IHR, when in fact there are lots of serious, hardworking, good revisionists all over the world. Some of them, unfortunately, in jail, like Germar Rudolf. Jürgen Graf, who had to flee to Iran and then to Russia. Carlo Mattonio in Italy. I mean, the list goes on and on. People don't want to admit that, hey, they signed up with a bad guy who turned out not to be what he thought. So they condemn Willis Cardo and say they don't, but they don't want to face the fact that Mark Weber and company not only destroyed the Institute for Historical Review, which used to have almost 500 books and videos and pamphlets available, which Weber has since erased. Now they have a handful of books, which Weber had to print very quickly to show people that he was doing something. They don't want to face all these things, ladies and gentlemen. Shame, shame, shame on those great revisionists, ladies and gentlemen. But I tell you what, I just decided here tonight that I'm going to invite Mark Weber and one of his leading critics, Friedrich Paul Berg, Fritz Berg for short, onto this program, and I'm going to try to remain as neutral as possible. I'm going to invite them to both come on this program and let Mr. Berg say what he has to say about Mark Weber's contributions to revisionism, and let Mark Weber respond. it'll be very interesting to see if Mr. Weber is willing to come on a program which will provide him open debate and let him defend himself. And I won't even say a word. I'll let the two boys go at it themselves. And I think the facts will prevail, and that is that Friedrich Paul Berg will prevail. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a lot more to talk about tomorrow night. We do have one caller here. I'm going to bring him up after the break. It's John from California. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's been an interesting program, and I suspect you probably do too.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We have a couple minutes left here. We do have one caller, John from California. John, go ahead.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I wasn't going to call tonight. I was just going to listen to the show. But when you talked about what happened in Switzerland, I just couldn't do it anymore. I remember reading those back in the old Spotlight. It just goes to show you, where the influence peddlers are, no matter where in the world it is, they'll find a way to skirt the law, the courts, the legal system, if it's in their favor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is what's interesting. Over the years, every time Mark Weber got a ruling against Willis Cardo in court, Weber would turn around and say, aha, the courts have proven Willis Cardo was wrong. In my estimation, I think that should tell everybody something, that the court system in this country, I think Willis Willis, unfortunately, had too much faith in the courts that his position was right. The very fact that the courts would rule for Mark Weber and against Willis Cardo should tell you exactly whose side the courts were on. And in fact, at one point, an official of the Anti-Defamation League was quoted in the Los Angeles Times as saying, well, we don't really like either side, but we were glad to see Cardo defeated. So, I mean, you know, that tells you right there, John. You know, in fact, at one instance, in one of the series of court cases that came out of all this here in the United States between the IHR and Liberty Lobby, when IHR started suing Liberty Lobby, a judge said on a weekend before Thanksgiving weekend, he sat there right in the court and called Tom Marcellus and Mark Weber a bunch of crooks. He said, I know what's going on here. In other words, he saw them trying to take over somebody else's company. And he said, I know what's going on here. I'm going to give you my ruling after Thanksgiving vacation. When that judge came back, he ruled 100% against Willis Cardo, even though before he adjourned the court, he made it very, very clear he was going in Cardo's favor. In other words, what happened was the judge was acting honestly, but over the weekend he got a phone call and they told him, don't rule in favor of Willis Cardo or you're in trouble.
You're right, Mike.
This happened. Willis was so confident that he was going to win that in that courtroom. But then Monday morning, it completely turned around, whatever day it was. I don't know, it was Monday morning. And, you know, as we proceed to discuss this, we'll see a lot more corruption of the legal system. We'll find out how a known asset of the Anti-Defamation League, Deputy Sheriff Tim Carroll in San Diego County, California, helped orchestrate a SWAT team raid on Willis Cardo's home. And the reason why they were having a SWAT team raid was to find these hidden millions of dollars that they believed that Willis Cardo and Elizabeth Cardo had buried on their property. I mean, yeah, we're serious here. This is the kind of nonsense that Mark Weber and Andrew Allen orchestrated to take over the Institute for Historical Review and then to try to destroy Liberty Lobby. And, you know, Weber has gotten away with it all these years, and people are now saying, oh, well, you know, Weber's just incompetent because they don't want to admit that it wasn't that Weber was incompetent. They don't want to admit that Weber was actually working at the direction of Andrew Allen, a Mossad operative. And, you know, John, what's interesting is that all these people who believe in who are so-called Holocaust deniers, critics of the Holocaust religion, these are the first people to say that the Jews and the Holocaust lobby are conspiring to keep the truth about the Holocaust hidden. But they are the last people to want to admit that this same Holocaust lobby and the Jewish power interests would have a reason to take over the Institute for Historical Review and put in someone like Mark Weber, who basically put the IHR to death.
Good work, Mike. Keep it going tomorrow night.
All right. Oh, we're going to have fun. We got a lot more coming, lots of dirty details. Thanks for your call, John. You people out there who are still saying Willis Cardo was the bad guy in this, hey, you're going to be able to call in here and explain why after we finish up this series. So get your pen and paper handy. Get your notes ready. I got the facts on my side. You got the myth. The myth that Mark Weber is a great revisionist gone wrong. Never was one in the first place, folks. Have a good evening. With recent